This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The West Virginia House of Delegates has killed a bill that leadership says was one of the keys to balancing the 2018 budget. The bill was presented on behalf of Governor Justice and originally would have raised $450 million in new taxes, but drastically changed as it worked through the committee process. Liz McCormick reports.
House Bill 2816 would have put about $20 million back into the General Revenue Fund during the 2018 fiscal year. The governor's office says the budget hole for 2018 could be as high as $497 million. But House officials say that's because the governor attempted to increase state spending in his budget plan. The House's budget calls on closing about a $340 million gap. And without House Bill 2816, the chamber's finance chair says that will be more difficult to do. The bill looked at three major things to help balance the 2018 budget. First, it would have eliminated the film tax credit, putting $5 million back into general revenue. Second, it would have ended a transfer of monies from sales taxes on automobile products to the state road fund, putting about $12 million back into general revenue. And third, it would have increased the beer barrel tax, which estimated to bring in almost $3 million additional dollars. The bill was up for passage in the chamber Tuesday, but was immediately met with opposition from members on both sides of the aisle. Several Democrats and Republicans opposed the bill because of its elimination of the film tax credit. But it was the beer barrel tax increase that had delegates like Republican Pat McGeehan from Hancock County fuming.
So I'd just like to know, are we conservatives here? I thought the Republicans controlled this chamber. Maybe not. I don't know. Some members in my party seem like they'd like to take us back to the 1920s and early 1930s as prohibitionists. It's not our job to pick and choose which legal products to tax. That's called the nanny state. It's called free enterprise. That's what we're supposed to embrace.
The bill failed, 39-60. House Finance Chair Delegate Eric Nelson of Kanawha County says he was extremely surprised by the vote.
You know what, we're just going to continue to, our idea of having a budget out by tomorrow, which we were on a path of last Saturday, it's going to be very difficult now. So you either have to look at cuts or, you know, I hate to say it, revenue measures. And I don't think the body, if they don't look at a potential beer consumption change, where do you think they'll be? Difficult times right now.
Originally, delegates were also going to vote on House Bill 2933 Tuesday. It's another bill to increase revenues for the state. The bill in its current form reinstates a 3% food tax in October 2017, and it would also get rid of a number of exemptions to the current sales tax, like cell phones and professional services. It would lower the sales tax from 6 to 5% in July 2018, and it would put a flat 5.1% rate on the personal income tax. All in all, the bill is estimated to bring in an additional $215 million between 2018 and 2020. Delegates pushed consideration of that bill off until Wednesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick at the State House.
A Robert Wood Johnson report analyzes health across West Virginia. The report highlights factors causing premature deaths, such as drug overdoses and alcohol-related accidents. It also looks at rates of youth not employed or in school, a phenomenon called youth disconnection. Kara Lofton reports.
The report analyzes data by county, categorizing each as most healthy in West Virginia, that's Jefferson County, or least healthy, McDowell. A variety of factors contribute to health status, such as environment, access to resources, education, and youth disconnection.
The more a person is able to commit to a good education and then attain solid employment and have a decent income, the more likely they're going to be to have a healthy life and raise a healthy family and be part of a healthy community in general.
That's Jerry Spegman, one of the people who worked on the report. It found that in West Virginia, 17% of youth are disconnected compared to a national average of about 12%.
So from a community health perspective, it's of concern. From a public safety perspective, it's a concern to have people that are not engaged in either education or employment to be in the community, perhaps engaging in riskier behavior than would otherwise be the case.
Rural areas have particularly high rates of disconnected youth, with an average of 20%, while suburban areas average about 12%. Successfully addressing the problem may need a similar multidisciplinary approach that can be seen in one rural Pennsylvania community Spegman has worked with. There, faith leaders, Chamber of Congress members, economic development, and medical personnel all came together to focus on engaging local youth. But youth disconnection is not the only factor that determines the health of a community. Across America, the rate of Americans dying prematurely is skyrocketing, most notably among younger people in rural areas. Drug overdose was by far the single leading cause of premature death by injury in 2015 and contributed to the accelerated rise in premature death from 2014 to 2015. Spegman says he hopes the report will empower local leaders and policymakers to improve health outcomes in their communities, especially among disconnected youth. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedim Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine.
This is West Virginia Morning, coming up on 750. Becoming mostly sunny today and warm, temperatures in the 60s and low 70s. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 40s. Mostly cloudy on Thursday with a chance of rain. Highs in the 60s. There's a chance of rain Thursday night. Rain and thunderstorms on Friday.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the State Journal, a West Virginia news source for state government, business, energy, law, tourism, and technology. It's all in the State Journal, online at statejournal.com.
President Trump's proposal to cut the Appalachian Regional Commission and other agencies has alarmed some people in a region that helped elect him. Now, a budget resistance is brewing within the president's own party. Benny Becker reports on what's at stake.
Danny Ferguson grew up in Lincoln County, West Virginia, where the downturn in the coal industry has hit hard. Ferguson says that for the county's young people, it's gotten really hard to find a career close to home.
If you've never been there, you don't understand. They can work at Burger King and McDonald's. We don't have nothing else for them to be employed. Lincoln County is just in bad shape, and it seems like Coalfield's the only one that will take a chance in that area.
Ferguson is talking about the Coalfield Development Corporation, which trains and employs local young people. Ferguson is a mentor in the program, teaching participants carpentry as they work to restore and reclaim old buildings and furniture.
We was mostly dependent on coal. That's where our work came from. The coal's dead, but they're trying to find something for these kids to go do instead of nothing.
Nearby in eastern Kentucky, many young people are facing the same challenges. In the town of Paintsville, a program called Tech Hire Eastern Kentucky offers a different kind of job training.
This is one that I created while we were doing JavaScript. You can put in a zip code, and what it does is it gives you the temperature, and it also shows you the location.
Interns like Melissa Anderson are getting paid to learn how to create smartphone apps with computer code. Both Tech Hire and the Coalfield Development Corporation were supported by the Appalachian Regional Commission. The ARC, as it's sometimes called, is one of 19 federal agencies that would be completely defunded under President Trump's recent budget proposal. People involved with economic development in coal country are alarmed. Stephanie Tyree is the executive director of the West Virginia Economic Development Hub.
These agencies have a critical role providing support to innovative economic development projects, particularly in communities that are struggling the most.
The ARC has been funding projects in Appalachia for over 50 years. In the last 2 years, it's invested over $70 million in communities affected by the coal industry's decline. Tyree says that the ARC has helped improve the economy in many parts of Appalachia, but the agency's support is still needed.
There still is persistent poverty in Appalachia. We work in communities every day where they're struggling to address that challenge.
Dee Davis, director of the Center for Rural Strategies in Whitesburg, Kentucky, says the ARC is especially important for getting new projects off the ground. Since it was founded in 1968, the ARC has invested over $3.8 billion in the Appalachian region, That funding led to around $16 billion more in private investment.
The ARC doesn't have a lot of money, but they have strategic money, early in money, and they can pave the way for other investors.
Davis says people outside the region might not appreciate just how big an impact it can have to take away even a little bit of help in areas that are already facing serious crises.
If you're living on the ground in those communities dealing with life or death decisions, then you feel it. It's because you're already working as hard as you can to keep the community together.
Lawmakers in the region are also concerned. In Kentucky, for example, Republican Governor Matt Bevin and Congressman Hal Rogers have both defended the ARC. And here's what Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told TV station WYMT.
We're not going to allow any cuts to the Appalachian Regional Commission. That's not going to happen.
The current federal funding bill is set to expire next month. Congress will need to pass a new budget or an extension before April 28th to prevent a government shutdown. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Benny Becker in Whitesburg, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.